The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition for 61-plus years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Here is General Manager Sean Sullivan, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, to tell you what's happening there.
We have a wonderful buyback program for all pre-owned vehicles. Your car is never worth more than it is right now. We are paying over book value for cars. As you know, that there is a serious shortage of vehicles. I'm sure that everyone has seen it on the television, on the news, on the internet, however you get your information. It is a big deal going on right now. We're trying to figure out how we're going to run our business, but we're still getting along and I'm buying everything I can get my hands on. So please come down and see me or email me at bestinclass@billcurry.com. I can do business right over the email. You don't even have to come into the dealership, as well as ordering a car. I'm ordering cars without deposits right now. So we can get you into your new F-150, your new F-150 Lightning, your Bronco, your Mach-E, whatever thing you want. Electric, you want combustible, you want diesel, we got it all. It's fine. And I can work on all of it, and I have parts for all of it. So, and I am very proud that our body shop, we're making some really great waves in our body shop. So if you have that small little ding on your bumper, even if it's not affecting the paint, if it's just a ding, I take care of the paintless dent. I can also take out your bumper scratches, any scratches around your door handles, all those things that have been bothering you about the car that you're making car payments on, I can have taken care of for you very easily. Just send me a picture to bestinclass@billcurry.com, and I will send you back a quick estimate. So again, all great stuff. Visit us at billcurryford.com.
Thank you, Sean. That's billcurryford.com. Drinking this weekend, Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. Big Storm Beer, bigstormbrewery.com. Big Storm is in Publix, at fine establishments everywhere, dine-in, take-out, package stores. Find out where you can buy Big Storm Beer at bigstormbrewery.com. Punch in your zip code in the Storm Tracker, and they will direct you to the great places that sell Big Storm Beer. Of course, there are the Big Storm Tap Rooms where you can eat and drink and get all the varieties, the many, many varieties of Big Storm Beer, and they're all the great things they do. There's spirits, etc. Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. That's the flagship location. Live music, outdoors, indoors, beautiful facility. Also in Odessa, off State Road 54, Cape Coral, and in Orlando at the Amway Center, accessible 7 days a week. Big Storm Brewery. Follow them on Facebook, other social media. We love Big Storm Beer. Here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter. You know, screw the introduction, Ira. We just finished listening to your fantastic look at all things quarterbacks for the Bucs, and we'll, of course, go there again soon. That's in the last podcast. You can listen at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Podbean, all kinds of places, and right at JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper is here. And in the intro, Ira, I played Sean Sullivan himself, the draft guru, laying out all the great things going on at Bill Curry Ford and why you need to head there. So it was good to hear Sean's voice back on the podcast. And of course, we'll hear from him again as we get closer to the draft, and he'll take us down what the Bucks need to do. Ira, how are you today? What are your big plans coming up?
I'm doing well, Steve. Got a couple of shows coming up, by the way. They are re-releasing The Godfather. 50th anniversary, Lee.
Why would I groan about that? That's a work of art. That's not a movie.
It is. And AMC Theaters, AMC, and I'm sure there's one by you and one by Isbitz, I believe in about a week, for that weekend, are going to be showing Godfather 1, some kind of spruced up release. Coppola went through the film and, added this and added that. And I'm there for Godfather 1. Godfather 2.
Wait, hold on, Ira, hold on. Don't go so fast. What does the sage eat during a movie? What's the lineup when you go to the snack bar for a movie?
Well, most people go with the popcorn. I'm looking for a pastrami sandwich. Can I have a pastrami sandwich? Maybe a kosher pickle? Lee, give me a knish. Give me something.
They sell those at movie theaters?
Well, at the upscale ones. In Miami Beach, I might get one. But, in the old days, in Brooklyn, I'm looking for the bonbons, Stevie. Gotta have the bonbons. I'm not a popcorn guy, just not. The butter gets on my lap, it's everywhere, and that's a bad look for me. That's a bad look, Lee. It's a bad look.
So, one thing, always, when I see it, the remote goes down instantly. I don't care if I've seen it 50 times. The remote still goes down. Godfather.
You're absolutely right, Lee. You know, there's 5 or 10 movies like that. Each, you know, it's different for each of us. 5 or 10 movies. For me, it's to sir with love, gentlemen. To sir with love. Sidney Poitier in an English school. I cry like a faucet at the end of that movie, Lee. Every time I see it, the last 5 minutes, Lulu is singing out that to sir with love. I got to go for the handkerchief. To sir with love, Steve. That's just me.
Wait a minute. What is this called again? Say it slowly, Ira.
To sir with love.
S-U-R.
1967, Lee. 1967.
All right, Ira. Come on now. Let's get out of here. Look, Sage, Bruce Arians has dropped 50 pounds. 50 pounds. He did it. He did an interview with his hometown newspaper in York, Pennsylvania, and they caught him driving down the road from his lake house to Tampa, 7-hour drive with his wife in the car. They interviewed both of them, and Arians explained that he's just hungry and he's feeling great, and that he is just really enjoying coaching, and he thinks it keeps him young, and that it's the best medicine for him, and that he was at the White House this summer. And after the White House is when he started his diet and has dropped 50 pounds. He set a goal to do it by the spring. He's already got it done. He was running in a pool, sprinting in a pool, and that's how he tore his Achilles that he's been dealing with. But it seems like he's got more than just one season in him, Ira, that he's really just decided that, you know what, I like this. If I'm healthy, I want to stay healthy. I'm just going to keep going. They didn't take my coordinators, so maybe I got an extra. I was prepared to go a year without them. This year I don't have to. Maybe he has 2 more years, Ira. What's your thought about all that?
Well, Lee, on a personal basis, I'm pissed off at Bruce Arians. He's down 50 pounds. He's got a torn Achilles. It's not like he's going out there jogging. Maybe he can get out on the golf course. That ain't no exercise. He's down 50. I'm up 7. What the hell's going on there, Lee? I'm on the tennis courts. I'd like to know what he's eating or what he's not eating. Of course he's hungry, Lee. He's starving. He's hungry because he's down 50. Now, professionally speaking, Lee, I'm going to say this, and I think this is what is paramount on Arian's mind in his decision to return, even in the absence of Tom Brady. And, Lee, there was a lot of speculation, some of it by me, that Arians would retire if Brady retired. That's not the case. He is coming back. He'll be at the combine. You'll see him in a week or two. We'll see him at the owners' meetings. Lee, I think what's paramount, and I think it's fair, he looks at the division. He looks at the division. And as you said in our previous podcast, we're not sure he can't win the division with Kyle Trask or Blaine Gabbert. You know, depending on what happens in this division in the next couple of months, right now, it kind of looks like the worst division in football. That's the look when you take the Bucs out of the equation. The NFC East stinks too, but there ain't much going on in the NFC South. And I think that's on Arian's mind. He looks at it and says, you know, we win the division, even if we go 10-7, you know, we got a home playoff game. We're in the postseason. Anything can happen. And I don't think he's wrong about that, Lee. Now, maybe Carolina lands a veteran quarterback. Maybe Matt Ryan has one last fling at the age of 37. I don't think he will. The Saints still have a little bit of a defense. But, Lee, let's be honest. This division's in turmoil right now, and I think that's a big factor for Arians.
That's a fair point. And, you know, if he can get a quarterback, he can make a Super Bowl run. I think he knows that, too.
Yeah.
Interesting, Sage. Up 7. There was a time where you were pushing down 12. You were marching toward 20. You'll get back, Ira. You'll get back there.
Now my wife's getting me ice cream at 11 o'clock at night. Lee, I can't have it.
You can't have it, but you say, thank you, honey. Is this all I get? Where's the Hershey's sauce on the top? All right, Sage. Had to bring that up, Ira, because I think it's important. I mean, they didn't lose the coordinators, which Arians had said, hey, if I lose my coaches, and he only lost as inside linebackers coach, the new Jaguars. Mike Caldwell is the new Jaguars defensive coordinator. And Cody Grimm is now the safeties coach out there, and he was just a quality control guy with the Bucs, like an assistant to an assistant kind of thing. So I don't know. I was very, very excited by that, and I think the Glazers probably were too, because obviously Arians has done a hell of a job. And you know, do you think that changes the perspective at all with Arians. Maybe he's changed his mindset. Maybe he has a little different opinion toward the free agents that are coming up here, Ira, because Carlton Davis, a big decision. Jordan Whitehead, I think, is actually a pretty big decision because he's made so many impact plays. And I don't think that they can replace him next year if they don't keep him. He's irreplaceable at the quality that he is. And I think it's safe to say they're not going to go draft a safety. That's certainly not a priority for the team. And then you got Jason Pierre-Paul coming off rotator cuff surgery, Ira. He just said this week that he's going to kill shit this season. What's your thought on him? I'm guessing, Ira, he's not going to recover for at least 4 or 5 months where you'd be able to get a real good read on what you're buying, and maybe he could come cheap. I don't know. I asked you a lot there, Ira, but do you think anything has changed with Arian's perspective on this team and his future?
Well, I think the feeling in the organization is they have to give it one more shot. When you got Mike Evans in his prime, guys like Marpet, Smith, Wirfs, that's not a rebuilding team. Levante David, Devin White, that's not a rebuilding team. Shaq Barrett, they're going to give it another shot. I know Arians feels that way. Jason Light said as much, Lee, when we talked to him a couple of weeks ago. He doesn't think this is a rebuild job. So that adds pressure on Light. 25 free agents. Now, some of them, you know, a lot of them are fringe guys, Lee. If they leave, you know, no Buck fan is going to have trouble sleeping at night. But there's 9 or 10 starters. I'll start with JPP, Lee. I think he wants to continue playing. I think he will play, but I think it'll be somewhere else. And he was a big factor in the Bucs winning the Super Bowl. Give him a lot of credit, Lee. We never questioned his toughness. But all things considered, I think he's going to have to go elsewhere. Jordan Whitehead is interesting. Lee, I think you can make the argument the last 4 or 6 weeks of the season, Lee, I think he was the best defensive back on the team.
I think that's a fair assessment, yeah.
He was getting better and better. Tell me what you think of this in terms of overall, the overarching free agent situation. Lee, I think the one thing that might be a little bit overstated, and everybody talks about it, this thing about the salary cap and the Bucks aren't well situated and they're this much, you know, under the cap or over the cap. Lee, I think sometimes that's exaggerated because, and the Bucks are very good at it, Light and Greenberg and whoever else works in that department, they're very good at it, very savvy. Lee, there's a lot of ways to manipulate the salary cap. What looks like a terrible situation, Lee, but a couple of strokes of the pen can change markedly, Lee, and I think it will.
Oh, yeah. I've written about this a couple times already. You know, how many years were the Saints allegedly in a salary cap hell? The Seahawks, yet they always found a way to add players. They always found a way. You know, black magic with that, with the salary cap with those accountants. But you know what? I would like someone to do a study sometime. I don't have the discipline or the time or maybe even the motivation to go through the last 10 years and look at every playoff team and what their salary cap situation was. I really believe there's a lot of people out there that have this idea that unless you max out your salary cap, you're not doing enough. It doesn't correlate. There's no, you know, if there was, you'd see people doing it. There's no pattern that if you spend X amount of money, that equates to X amount of wins. If there was, everybody would be doing it. Yeah, the Seahawks have finally caught up with them. It looks like it's going to finally catch up with the Saints. But for years, these two teams were messing with the salary cap, yet they always found a way to add a player.
You know, Steve, they talk about kicking the can down the road in terms of salary cap hell. It takes quite a while for it to catch up to you a lot of times, Steve. You can still compete before you got to pay the piper. There's too many ways to manipulate it.
Didn't the Ravens do the same thing? Didn't they manipulate it for years?
Some teams are better than others, and the Bucks are good at it.
And it goes back to, of course, how well you draft, because the Saints have done an excellent job in the draft in recent years, where Ravens have, you know, a long history of the draft. Yeah, I mean, still, but it will catch up to you. One question, though, I ask you, Ira, though, is do you think the Bucks, and don't laugh at me here, but strategy, Ira, strategy, do you think the Bucks, with their eye on free agency, leave a little room or a little extra flexibility or a little hidden gap to sign Tom Brady just in case? Just in case that they're not forced into a trade of his rights when Brady decides, if Brady decides, the end of June, hey, I want to play.
Well, I don't think that's beyond the pale of thinking. Lee, when you've had Brady and you're not 100% sure that he's retired, and I think that's the situation at one buck, some of it wishful thinking. Certainly that's the idea of a Buck Nation, but I don't, you know, for these purposes, that doesn't matter what the fans think. You know, what does Lightnerians think and the Glazers? That's not crazy, Lee, but I'll say it again. I just don't think Brady is wired to come in where he's not there from the start. That doesn't fit the Brady pattern to me, Lee. I think it's highly unlikely.
But you also have to remember, Ira, and Brady spoke about this publicly on Howard Stern's show, that he quit going to OTAs at the Belichick's because his wife threatened to divorce him otherwise.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so it's not like, you know, from February to the end of the season, he was, you know, at the Patriots or one buck place daily. We were talking in the previous podcast about some of the delicate choices Jason Light has, whether it's Carlton Davis. You know, do you sign a quarterback first and go after Godwin, or hope Godwin somehow capitulates, then you get a quarterback? Here's one for you, since we're doing what-ifs. What if the Bucks, for the second time in 3 years, have a quarterback fall out of the sky, and they get Deshaun Watson? What if Jason Light gets the phone call, and it's Tom Brady, and he tells Jason, you know what, Jason, I want to play another year?
Well, once you got Deshaun Watson, Lee, you got Deshaun Watson. I mean, that's the way you go. You got a 26-year-old franchise quarterback. You're not going to dump him once you get him for Tom Brady, and you got to, you know, you wish Brady the best, and he goes elsewhere, Lee. That's the way I look at it. You got a chance to have a guy who's going to be there for 7 years under center for getting Brady for another year, maybe two. To me, it's a no-brainer, Lee, and I think you could argue that Watson's a better quarterback at this point. I think you could.
I don't know if I can go there. I see where you're going, Ira, and I pretty much agree with you, but I don't know if I can say right. And I like Deshaun Watson, so please don't misunderstand, but Brady was elite this past year.
But how long can Brady keep it up? So I know what you're saying, but if they got Watson, they're going with Watson.
Yeah, because you got the investment.
That would be a wild scenario, but I wouldn't put it past the Glazers to say, find a way. Tom's the quarterback. Find a way. Who's going to argue? What fan is going to argue? Damn it, we have to go with Brady again? This is not right. You know, no one's going to do that.
Well, then, Steve, you got to come close to getting back your compensation package for Watson.
You do.
Otherwise, you look like a fool.
Yeah, absolutely, you look like a fool, unless you do something crazy and sit him for a year. I mean, I guess that's always possible. He already sat out a year. What's another year? I mean, I know it's insane. It's a crazy hypothetical, but I'll sit here and say this. If Tom Brady says he wants to play and he is willing to play for the Bucs, but he squeezed them into the pickle that Lee described, no matter who the quarterback is, you find a way to put him on the field. That would just be a historical travesty if you just let Tom Brady go play somewhere else. I can't. You can't do it, Iris, to use your phrase. You can't do it.
I understand.
All right, Ira, look, free agents, a big decision I think the Bucks have to make is a kicker, Ira. I know it gives a lot of fans agita, to use your word, but suck up. He has no range, no 50-yard field goals last year. You're not going to find a lot of full-time kickers in that boat. They really don't attempt them with suck up. It's not even on the radar. You look at the kickers in the Super Bowl. You got a rookie for the Bengals. You got Matt Gay, who was a cast-off. Forget that he came from the Bucks; just a guy who was on the street. They picked him off the Colts practice squad. And those two guys were 14 of 19 from 50-plus this year. Obviously, they were money when it counted. The other great kickers in the league, most of them, a good percentage of them were cast-offs. Yes, Jason Light has the baggage and the history of the kickers. But suck up, I mean, do you want a weak-legged 36-year-old guy due to make $4 million when you're trying to bring back your hard-hitting safety who's making impact plays and is somebody who's going to be around a while? I don't know. I'm not scared of a rookie kicker, Ira, or a guy off the street. Should I be?
You should not be. Lee, a year ago, Suck Up was coming off a very good season, a Super Bowl year. I thought he was very mediocre last year, Lee. I didn't have a tremendous amount of faith once the season started. And I'm willing to go elsewhere, Lee. I mean, most of the kickers in this league, including some of the most successful ones, were not drafted. Lee, these teams find them. Why can't the Bucks? So, but yeah, I would take a hard look at replacing Suck Up. It's I think he's going in the wrong direction, Lee.
I would take no look at Ryan Suck Up. I think this is any other team, this is a legitimate argument. But we're not talking about any other team. We're talking about the Bucks. Since 2014, what suggests to you guys that this team could find a decent kicker? They finally found one. Finally. And you're trying to look for excuse to get rid of him? Seriously? Seriously. You've got to be out of your mind. You guys got to be drinking. No. This team has done nothing but prove they have no clue about getting a kicker.
Well, wait a minute. If Jason Light is having a beer listening to this podcast, he's saying, screw you guys. Matt Gay just made a freaking Pro Bowl and won a Super Bowl. He just made the...
was Matt Gay 2 years ago? The Bucks cut him.
By the way,
he, you know, when people say that, the Bucks cut him, Matt Gay cut himself. The Bucks wouldn't have cut him unless they gave him a reason to cut him. Matt Gay cut himself. So, but this team, look at the history of kickers. No way. An average kicker is light years better than the Aguayus and the Bada Binza and all these characters. No. I'll go out and get a punter that can kick a 50-yard field goal if need be. No. Spitting in the face of history. No. 1,000 times no. Unless Ryan Suckup cannot swing that right leg of his, he's your kicker.
Lee just said the guy's an average kicker. He just said it, Steve, so there'll be another average kicker that makes less money.
Well,
this is what
I'm saying. I don't disagree with Lee, except I just don't think that you can live in fear like that. I mean, Suck Up.
It's not living in fear. It's living in reality.
Well, the reality is Suck Up was 23rd this year in field goal conversion percentage. He ranked 23rd in converting field goals, but he wasn't taking 50 yarders like many of the other kickers who had 8 attempts from long range. So he was 23rd and was kicking the shortest distance in the league. He just wasn't very good. And I think the Bucks know how to get a not very good kicker, which is Ira's mindset of you could get a kicker who's not that good or is just okay and save some money to sign an impact player.
The Bucks can't because they haven't.
Well, they got suck up.
They got, okay, one out of how many? How many kickers does this team go through? Seriously, how many kickers?
Well, I'll say this.
They finally fell into one. They finally lucked into one. They finally tripped over a guy. Don't press your luck. Don't tempt fate. Don't spit in the face of history. Don't.
Steve, maybe part of the problem might be on the coaching staff. How about coaching some of these guys up like Matt Gay?
The whole organization from top to bottom. They don't know how to get a kicker. They've lucked into Suck Up. You know, Steve, you're talking about, Suck Up was 23rd. What do you think Aguayo would be? Number 56? I mean, Bada Brinza. No. Unless this guy can't get on the field, no. Suck Up's your kicker.
We don't live in fear, DeKemper. We don't live in fear around here.
Well, I live in reality. And reality says there's a 98% chance they're going to bring in a dude that won't last 2 months.
First, I have to say, you know, the Bucks have the rare, they've got this giant coaching staff. They have a kicking coach. Chris Bagnol is their kicking specialist coach. We know the Bucks special teams outside of kicking was poor last year, and Bruce Arians won't shake up that staff. He won't touch that staff. Those are his guys. And that could be a little part of the problem when you see the success that Matt Gay had. But, you know, a lot of that's speculation. It's the fun of this time of year. I want to thank our listeners at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, JoeBucksFan.com. Truly many thousands of listeners to each episode. And in that group, Sage, are plumbers and property managers and business owners and air conditioning repair company owners. They need to know that Florida's Elite Restoration is there for them and their clients 24/7. Reach out to owner Josh Martin today and he will let you know how Florida's Elite Restoration works with great businesses across the Tampa Bay area and beyond, servicing clients in their time of greatest need. Josh has 14 plus years experience in the insurance industry on the other side as an adjuster. So he knows all the ins and outs, and it's a tough business, difficult business. You need somebody who knows what's going on and who is honest. Florida's Elite Restoration has a fantastic reputation across the Tampa Bay area. We know people who've used them, and they're just fantastic. So reach out to Josh. He'll be happy to buy you lunch, sit down, talk to you about how his business can work with yours. And if you're a homeowner, of course, they're there for you 24/7 for a free assessment in your home. If you come home and you have a flood under the sink, you've got mold and it's an issue, reach out before you call your insurance company. They'll come and assess what's happening and see if you need something repaired or help you navigate it with insurance. Floridaselite Restoration.com. Could you make that argument, Lee, if you want to spread it out, Ira? Ira, I'll ask you first. Could you make the argument that this regime hasn't done very well picking cornerbacks? Jason Light signed Brent Grimes, got a good year out of him, but then he didn't feel like covering anybody. You know, they picked some other veteran cornerbacks that haven't worked out through the years. I guess we could pin Alteron Verner on Lovie Smith.
It's funny because you're right. Certain positions, they've done pretty well in free agency. Some they haven't. Lee, I pointed out in my previous column, some positions, they draft pretty well over the years. I mean, over the long haul. And some positions, Lee, like quarterback, you know, Lee, of all the stats about the Bucs, and I think they still might have the worst overall record of all the NFL franchises when you go back to, 1976. They still might be at the bottom, even with the success of the last 2 years, overall record. Of all the crazy things about the Bucs, you know, that thing still stands. No quarterback drafted by the Bucs signed a contract extension with the Bucs. They signed contract extensions with other teams when they moved on from the Bucs, but not with the Bucs. They can't draft a quarterback. Tight ends, I pointed out, been a disaster. Just look at O.J. Howard and Seferian Jenkins. Disaster. So it's funny. These things, they predate Jason Light. This is not a Jason Light problem, necessarily. It's just weirdly that, certain positions come easy in free agency, and some don't for this franchise.
Ira, you can make the argument the Bucs have drafted quarterbacks. They have had no clue how to develop them. Steve Young and Vinny Testaverde spring to mind.
Yeah, you know, Vinny went on and had a pretty darn good career. They never really gave Young the chance.
You know, not to detour too much here, but I saw, NFL Network documentary on Young, and he was talking about when he went to San Francisco, he learned so much from Bill Walsh that he never heard from any of the coaches with the Bucs as far as footwork and this and that. And, that just speaks that they had no clue how to develop a quarterback. Was that Lehman Bennett? Was that his coach?
That's right, Lee. Lehman Bennett.
Sage, is it your opinion that the offense will get better, more priority from the coaching staff? Forget, throw out the quarterback decision because that's coming. But from the coaching staff and the front office, is it your opinion that the offense will get the priority in free agency this year, or will it be the defense overall?
I think the defense needs more help than the offense. I do, omitting the quarterback position. You know, I've been thinking about this, guys. You know what might change this year? I think Arians is going to be more involved in the offense. I think he's going to be more involved. When you got a Brady, you can let Leftwich handle things because three quarters of the things that you're doing are Brady related, suggested by Brady, not ordered by Brady, but suggested by Brady. And Lee, here's the reason I say it. I still remember when somebody asked Arians near the end of the season, hey, what would you do about an offensive coordinator and what would you do about calling the plays if Leftwich got a head coaching job? Lee, in 3 seconds, he said, I'll call the plays. He didn't hesitate. I think he misses it, Lee.
They all do.
And as much as he likes running around in that golf cart, Lee, and popping in on all kinds of meetings, that's his expertise. And I didn't think he had to do that much. I really don't, except get out of the way, basically. And without Brady there, Steve, I see Arians being more involved in this offense.
It's a great point, Ira. It's one of the reasons at the beginning of this podcast I brought up Arians and his health. Because in my mind, I was thinking, you know what? He's prepared to roll up his sleeves this season like he probably didn't have to last year with Tom Brady in town because, you know, it's Tom Brady. But now, maybe, I know it's probably not accurate, but at least there's a maybe. Maybe he just maybe he looked at that last play and that play call from Todd Bowles and said, maybe I should go to an extra meeting or two, or what the hell's going on here? Because that's got a stick in the craw of everybody associated with the Bucs. That, man, maybe that last play didn't have to happen.
Here's something that needs to change for next year, I think. And I'm starting to lean at this as something with Bowles' scheme. Why was it that whenever a cornerback was out of the game, starting corner, the defense just collapsed? Didn't matter who they're playing. Didn't matter if it was a stud quarterback or a garbage quarterback. Davis, Carlton Davis, whether it was Jamel Dean, whether it be Sean Murphy, Bunting. One guy leaves the field, the defense collapses. Something's wrong about that. Now, the easy answer is, well, their backups were that bad. Well, how many guys did they bring in? I mean, you see teams bringing guys in all the time, and they find a way to fix the defense. But it's hard for me to believe that one position goes down, and all of a sudden, you know, it's the straw that broke the camel's back.
And Lee, along those lines, that leads me to say that I think the emphasis should be on pass rush. I think Joe Tryon will turn out to be a decent pick, but I'm not sure he's ready to get 9 or 10 sacks. You got Shaq Barrett. Devin White wasn't used extensively as a blitzer this season. You got to protect your secondary. Steve, these are not ball hawks. They're not. You know, Bunting's not a ball hawk. Jordan White, he's not a ball hawk. Even Davis to that regard. You got to have the pressure. And one guy we haven't talked about, Lee, is a free agent, a potential free agent. Do you keep him or not? This guy's really grown on me. The professionalism, we've talked about it. And I see Sapp weighed in that the Bucs don't get enough pressure from the interior defensive linemen. They don't pressure the quarterback. They can't pass rush. I don't agree with that. Now, look, they're not Warren Sapp. They're not John Randall, okay, but wait, Vita Vea is not a factor in the pass rush? He's no factor? So the guy I'm talking about is Sue. The guy never misses a game. You know, Vea doesn't play half the snaps. So now he's out 50% of the time, and if you don't have Sue, you got to draft a defensive tackle, or you're a little shaky there. I'm looking at Sue. If I can get him for one more year, I'm bringing him back.
Yeah, so, you know, we had this conversation in previous podcasts. There's another one of those delicate positions lights in. Does he have the money to bring Sue back? Does he have the money to bring Will Golston back? Golston's is an understated guy. He's pretty steady. So it's very interesting, but I would not be surprised at all if the Bucs drafted a defensive tackle. I think the Bucs were looking at that last year. And I'll never forget, someone asked Jason Light why he didn't draft a defensive tackle. And he said, you know, it was a weak class for defensive tackle. And right. This year's draft is supposed to be rather strong for defensive tackle. So,
Ira, I'm ready to move on from Sue. I'm just going to say it. I'm ready. It's not a knock on him, but you got to make some hard decisions here. They're coming up, and it's a good defensive tackle class. Vita Vea hopefully will play more. I'd rather see a guy come in here cheaper as a free agent that can help them. I don't think they've missed a ton, and obviously it's been a good defense with Nunez-Roches playing a lot of football. I mean, Sue and Vea don't play a ton. I'd rather bring back Golston, who's a little more versatile, and just get a young guy in there, and maybe, Ira threw this out there, maybe Calais Campbell, if he would play for half of what Sue would play for. He said he wants to go another year. The stat nerds say he's played well. He's extremely durable. He's very versatile. He's a freakish kind of guy with his size. And he obviously knows this defense. And he's one of these man of the year types. I think he'd be, might be an interesting mentor in there.
Can I say this about Calais Campbell real quick? I know Steve's been on the Calais Campbell bandwagon for years. And you're not wrong, Steve. I like him a lot, too. Arians' first year here, they played the Jags. Calais Campbell was on the roster at the time. Jags roster. And remember, Calais Campbell came from the Cardinals. And, you know, I remember Steve and I both writing, why would you let this guy go? Well, guess who the coach of the Cardinals was? Bruce Arians. And I asked Arians a couple of questions about Calais Campbell I did not like his body language, Arian's body language, answering those questions. It was like he was holding something back. Like he didn't. Number one, you could tell he didn't want to talk about him. I just got the vibe that Arian's is really biting his tongue. I could be way off base, but Arian's body language and his clipped answers about Calais Campbell, something spooked me there.
I'm a little surprised, Lee, because one of the things about him is he's supposed to be a great teammate. I was definitely on the Campbell bandwagon, Steve. I don't remember what year it was, but I said, you got to go get this guy. And then, Steve, when he went to Jacksonville, I think he finished second in Defensive Player of the Year award and made a huge difference in the Jacksonville defense. But, Steve, that's 3-4 years ago. I don't think he's the same player. But I know what you're saying about Sue, Steve, but I think you want to make it clear that this is not a knock on Sue. Steve, I think you'd agree. He has been a consummate professional in Tampa.
I got to be clear about Arians and Campbell. Arians didn't say anything negative about Campbell whatsoever. But Arian's body language suggested something. He was holding something back.
Right. Zay, last position we'll hit on this podcast, and it's an important one, running back. Bruce Arians has said he doesn't like to pay big money for running backs. He did that in Arizona with David Johnson, but it didn't necessarily work out the way he had hoped. But it's a big question mark for the Bucs because I don't think they dislike Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones may have no interest in being a number 1A running back again. He might get a shot to be a number one guy somewhere. So we don't know if Jones wants to be back here. And clearly they don't view him as a receiving back, and he might believe that he is one. You know, that's in whatever's in his mind we can't control. Leonard Fournette, I don't know how tied he is to Tampa. Yes, he likes it here. Yes, he likes Arians. But, you know, he's obviously realized that, you know, you can move around and have some success. Maybe his last contract, and it's probably going to be a big one. Keyshawn Vaughn, they like the guy. Le'Veon Bell, Arians actually had a lot of good things about to say about Le'Veon Bell on to close the season on his Buccaneers Radio Network show, which surprised me a little bit. The tone of voice, Lee's talking a little bit about that. Obviously, we listen to the coaches intently every day or whenever they speak, and you get a little bit of a hint in their body language and their voice, but do you think the Bucs are eager to go outside the organization to get a running back in here, or that they would be willing to bank on a young guy like San Francisco did this year on a sixth-round rookie and get a ton of production out of him? Obviously, young running backs have a lot of success every year in the NFL. What's your thought?
I'm looking at this as the year of Keyshawn Vaughn. That's the way I'm looking at it. I think the card's set up for him. Somebody, I think, is going to give Fournette his payday. If Fournette can't cash in off last season, well, when the heck's he going to cash in? He was outstanding. Brady's not here. Right now, you don't know who the quarterback is. Somebody's going to throw Fournette money. Somebody will. He's proven to be versatile. He's catching the ball at an extremely productive rate, and that was the knock on him. I don't know why, because Steve likes to point out he caught 76 passes one year in Jacksonville. And Ronald Jones, I think, wants to move on. I think Jones wants to move on. I think he feels he can be a number one somewhere else. I think this is Vaughn's year. I think Arians likes him. I think he's going to get a full shot. Maybe you sign a veteran in free agency behind him. Doesn't cost much for protection. I'm leaning towards Keyshawn Vaughn right now.
It would not surprise me. I think they're spent on Ronald Jones. From the minute they came in, and we've heard this from so many sources, that their number one goal was to work on Ronald Jones' head. His head was messed up, had no confidence, this or that. And he's still doing unforgivable stuff, like stepping out of bounds right before the third down marker. And I just think they're, you know, after 3 years, I think they're just, I hate to use the term fed up, but I think they've reached their limit. They figure, okay, this is his ceiling, and we tried. And he's not a number one back. He might be for someone else, not here. And I just think both parties are ready to move on.
It's a big question, Sage. I don't know. I think they're not going to touch the running back position until they know who the quarterback is. Because if you have a mobile guy, you want a different kind of running back. I mean, they're going to have to make adjustments. Not that Leonard Fournette can't fit in with a guy like that, but he hasn't been in that situation before. Other than with Gardner Minshew, Lee's favorite player, you know, you just don't know what Yeah, I don't know. Do you agree with that, Ira, that they don't touch running back till they know who the quarterback is?
I do. I don't think the Bucs are overly worried about the running back situation because I think Arians has liked Vaughn from the start, seen him in practice every day, sees him when we don't. And he's shown a little bit. You know, he had the 55-yard run for a touchdown. And I think they want to see more of him. And he comes cheap.
Bingo.
I don't think running back is tops on their list right now.
All right, Ira, say goodbye to the people. We will be back as we march closer to the combine. And, of course, the free agency siren goes off in a couple of Mondays. March 14th, the siren wails. And, Sage, what do you want to tell the good people of Bucs Nation as they sit here and agonize about the quarterback and all the decisions?
You know what? We need answers, Buc Nation. We need answers. It's a very apprehensive time. It's very apprehensive. Yeah, a year ago, we didn't know all 22 stars were coming back, but we knew Brady was coming back, see? So that's three quarters of the puzzle. Hey, we got Tom Brady. Ah, we lose somebody, we'll be okay. We got Tom Brady. Well, Lee, right now they don't. And they got a giant hole under center. It's apprehensive time. Lee, a month from now, we're going to have most of our answers, if not all. And it starts with quarterback. We're going to know what's going on with door number two, and we're going to know what's going on with free agency. So hang on for the next month. I know you and Steve will be going up to Indy, maybe get some answers up there. And Lee, when you go to St. Elmo's, be careful of that shrimp cocktail, Mr. DeKemper.
I actually like the shrimp cocktail, but yeah, you got to be careful. I just don't want to get frostbite in Indianapolis.